We're in lesson 99 in the book of Ephesians, and as I was sharing a few minutes ago, this should be the last lesson in the book of Ephesians. We've had 99 lessons since then, and we may do a little testing a little while after this to see how well you, retain what you've learned. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Starting with verse 18. Now we went through 12 through 17. We talked about the armor, right? And we talked about putting stuff on and taking stuff off. But verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For me, the utterance, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, notice the mechanics about prayer, and we looked at that last lesson as far as praying. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's those next three words? In the Spirit. Is that a big S or a little S?
Big S.
Okay, what do we know about the big S?
Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. So we need to pray in what? In the Spirit. And the little S is your spirit. So if you think about sometimes when we did pray in our spirit, we had a lot of wasteful wants, don't we? You know, I want this. I want a new car. But the thing is, if you do not pray in the Spirit, your prayer life is going to wind up being selfish and self-centered. You ever notice that? Why ain't I getting this stuff? Why haven't my house sold yet? You know, that type of thing, right? You know, so it can be self-centered, and that's not a good thing, is it? If you think about it. You don't want your prayer life, oh, woe is me, what about me, what about me? Because I guarantee you, if you listen to some of the prayer requests and you get to talking to people, there's somebody who needs a lot more prayer than you do. Y'all can always find somebody else that needs that more. You will be praying with what you want, with what you want to pray. But if you pray in the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, produces the prayer. He starts to tell you what you need, and you start understanding what that is. So Ephesians chapter, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We looked at Romans chapter 8 and the mechanics of praying in the Spirit. And like 8:26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you want to know what God is doing today, shouldn't you know what His will is? You know, you don't have to wonder and speculate what the will of God is when you should know what He's doing today. The Father's will, the Son's will, and God's will. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? Now, what are you supposed to be doing here? Let your what? Request be known unto who?
God.
So, are there anything you can't let God know or want to know? Now, you know who God the Father is. He already knows what you need, does He not? He already knows if you're the Son of God. He already knows what you. But is there anything asking for prayer and supplication? And what is that next word? And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you pray, and you're praying for supplications and thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? You're thankful, right? You know, when we say grace at food, we're thankful for that ones that prepared it. We're thankful for it being here. And we also are thankful for who? Christ Jesus, that He came to this earth and buried and rose again. So thankfulness and supplication, that's making it known. But what does it do for you when you do that? What's those 5 words? Next 4, 5 words? Are you with me? And the peace of God, which passeth what? Shall keep your hearts and minds. So where's your hearts and minds supposed to be? On me? On self? On who? On God, Jesus Christ. Listen, we should know by now that once you trusted Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you ain't yours no more. He bought you with a price. He took that blood and made a down payment till He redeems that precious possession, your inheritance, and He takes you out of here. So you're bought. So that's why you can call Him what? Lord. Hey, you know history time and time again that when people called lords, they was working for them, wasn't they? That Lord owned them. You with me? That's why they say Lord so-and-so. And then that they was tied into that. But He bought you with a price. And you see, the results of praying in the Spirit is a peace of God under the pressures of life. Listen, there's probably not a one of us standing here today has got pressure coming down on them on all kinds of angles. Whether it's life, whether it's kids, whether it's jobs, whether it's, you know, how am I going to make that payment? Where am I going to eat next? You know, that saddens me to think there's people actually going without food. You know, I've been taught growing up down home and stuff, you know, when you come to my house, chances are you're going to eat before you leave there. Or we're going to get us something to eat. I don't want to see anybody go hungry. But that's my nature, you know. So that, you know, to think that people goes without food today, you're probably like, there ain't no way. But they do, don't they? And then we get elderly people goes out and they got to choose whether I'm going to have a meal today or I'm going to keep my lights on. You know, there's people, that's pressure, isn't it? But when you pray to God and know His will, it passes offices. What's your hope today? Let me ask you that. Many of you are a couple years older than myself. You know, I'll give you that much. What is your hope today?
That Jesus comes soon.
That's it. The catching away, that Jesus comes. And shouldn't that, isn't that a good hope? My hope lies in nothing less than Jesus Christ is righteous. Where's Jesus Christ today? Right hand of God, and that's where He's at, and He's making intercessions for us today. So my hope is to be taken out of here. I'm not going through the wrath to come, like a lot of people teach. Hey, you're going through tribulations. No, you want to believe that, you can, but I got a verse that says I'm not. And so my hope is to take me out of there. Now I know some of our hopes has to do with our family, don't it? I hope they get saved. Or I hope they turn their life around. That's not a bad hope. But your hope for eternal life is in Christ Jesus. And it's not in you and I. Period. So go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and you notice how Paul applies this. He says to pray for everybody about everything. Right? You know, I appreciate the dear brother when I went to stack care last week I didn't go to stack care, I went to the doctor last Monday. My foot's swelling up and it's giving me some issues. And he looked at it and he thought it might be arthritis setting in. You know, it's right at the foot, at the end of your foot and in your toes, it's right in there. And it's puffing up. And he wanted to eliminate the x-ray. So I had a dear brother, he wanted to come see me. You remember that? You know, he was like, hey man, can we come and see you? I was in Indiana, so I don't think he would want to drive to Indiana, you know, to see me. But that was a concern, you know, and I appreciate that. So we want to know things. That's why we have prayer requests corporately in here. You know, I know a lot. It's not the fact that when we pray that we expect Maggie to be healed walking out here today. In time, she's going to get better. But we know that Maggie's ill right now, don't we? We know Barb and people are ill. But he says, pray for everybody. Don't quit, guys. You keep on. You keep your eyes open and watch what is going on. So you're looking around and you're seeing that Tom's walking a little funny today. You know, that type of thing. Or he's hurting in his legs. That type. Well, what's wrong, brother? You know, well, you know, I fell and got a bruise. That, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with asking things and all. But the thing is, when he talks about watching, he's talking about elevating the real needs and situations. It's not like the kitty cat needs food. It's the fact that, hey, how you doing today? So when you know how to pray to God and His wills, you know how to manage situations and all. It comes to a different levels in prayer, and your life as a member of the body of Christ is designed for the purpose of helping to develop spiritual characteristics and perception in your life. So you need to know what to pray for and how to pray. A lot of people gets upset that, you know, God's not answering their prayers. You know what I mean? He ain't giving me what I expect. And guess what that does to you? It starts to mess with your mindset, don't it? Like, wait, am I saved? Am I lost? Am I got sin in my life? You know, there's people out there will automatically say you got sin in your life, that's why God's not healing you. Or you got sin in your life, that's why God, you don't have that job. I'm like, when don't you have sin in your life? You wake up and you might think of evil thoughts. Or eat, or you know, or watch something on TV or something. You know what I mean? So you constantly. But how does God portray you? It is not designed to give you things that you don't already have, guys. Remember when you ever prayed when you was a little kid? I want that choo-choo train. You know, I want that pony. You ever did that when you were a kid? I did. You know, and it wasn't there. But when your mom and dad heard that, guess what you got? Yeah. I remember, I'm not going to pop anybody's bubble, but they don't believe in Santa Claus, do they? Okay. Well, you know, many of us did, right? And my mom was straightforward to our kids. Your mom and dad, Santa Claus. You know, and we're like, well, at first when she said that, it was like, Mom, don't say that. But she was right. So they learn, because when you teach your kids about Easter bunnies and Santa Claus is growing up at an early age and tooth fairies, and then they're 13, 14 years old and they're still wanting, you know, $5 for a tooth, and you're like, hey, you know, I've got to tell you. They, you know, they're and they're like, wait a minute, if you lied to me about this,
how many other things did you lie to me?
And then you're going to tell them about Jesus Christ? That is the image of an invisible God. You with me? So we need to be, that's one thing I appreciate about Right Division. It's either going to get you in line with the Word of God and all that foolishness that we grow up with, and you can still have fun with it. You know, if you got a bell pole in your house and you nail it to the floor and put gold and silver on it, so be it. You know, that's between you and God, right? But the thing is, you got to watch that stuff, you know, you can get sucked into it. So you teach your kids the right way. That's with prayer too, and it's not designed for the prayer of not knowing how to pray. Like I said earlier, about getting a new automobile. How many wouldn't want a new automobile right now? If God would just, you know, how many wouldn't want a fatter bank account? You know, a home on the beaches of Puerto Rico or something. You know what I mean? Well, who wouldn't? But how do you get that? You plan for it. You know what to do. You don't do certain things. And it's not designed for God to answer your prayer and do all that kind of stuff, guys.
You know, Paul carried that on his side for the rest of his life. You know, I mean, people want this instant gratification. Well, he could have. You'd have thought if anybody could have had it, Paul could have had it. Well, he could have earlier in his ministry, but later on, well, God didn't work quite the same way as he did before.
And that's exactly the way I believe too. Progressive revelation. And before that thorn, Paul could lay hands on people and healed them. He stuck his hand in a viper nest and shook it off. And they looked at him like, why ain't you dead? And they thought he was a god from Jupiter, Mars. You know, that type of thing. So yeah, that thought, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, who's made strong? And it's still hard for people to understand that. Listen, last thing I want to do is tear your prayer life apart. That's not what my responsibility is. I know where I'm at in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying. Prayer is a hope. You know, you pray all the time about certain things, and you know, in your heart, and that's what prayer is just talking to God. You know, like your daddy. You know, that type of thing. You just talk to him. Now, he don't say he's going to do anything about it. Yes, son, I'm going to take care of that, no problem. Don't worry about your gas tank being full out walk. You know, that type of stuff. I'm just making jokes, but you got to be sincere about your prayer. And it's that is, when you do that, when you pray into all kinds of stuff and expecting God to do whatever, is totally self-oriented, it's unscriptural, and it's a way of evaluating your prayer. So you got to watch. I got to watch how I pray. Because sometimes in my mind, I'm like, am I doing the right thing? And you start doubting yourself. And we're going to look at something else. You're in Word. Ephesians chapter 6 or Philippians? Go back to Philippians. Excuse me. Ephesians 6, 19. The prayer is designed to develop that spiritual character and perception in your life. 6:19, Paul says what? Pray for me, don't he? And for me. He's just talking about prayer and stuff. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of what? Of the gospel. He says, pray for me. Why? Why do you want to pray for Paul? Didn't he have everything going on? No, he needed prayer too. And for me, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What is he doing here is prayer for power. He's asking for prayer for power. Because remember what Satan's plan B was? Remember what plan A and plan B is? He can't attack the message. He's going to attack who? The messenger. And plan B of Satan is designed to make the messenger to clam up and shut up and not preach and not to give out the gospel. That's why that doubt is. Listen, there's times, I told you I was studying for a message for next month in Illinois. You know, in my mind, sometimes I'm already thinking, who am I to say this? I'm starting to doubt myself. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to shut you up. And if he can shut me up, I've got a mouth. Now, my wife's got one, too. And what are you known as, Sherry?
Mouth of the South.
Brother Ray Watson used to call her Mouth of the South.
And so did my daddy.
And so did daddy. But the thing is, so we got something to say. You can talk about the Browns, the Indians, or whatever you want. But when you got the gospel and you got the good news of right division and you see somebody dying, going to hell, and you share the gospel, the grace of God to them that Christ died, and then you come to them and they come to some knowledge of the truth, you got something to say. But there's times you can doubt yourself and, I know I need to talk to her or him, but I just don't know. You know enough in your heart right now that what you, how you got saved. Can't you tell that to somebody else? Yes. So Satan's plan B is designed to make you clam up. He wants to intimidate you into silence. There's times, I'm being honest with you. I just mentioned that to Sherry the other day. I don't know if I should have took that assignment or not. You know, because why? It requires studying, don't it? And then you start to study and you got to put your messages together. And stuff. It's a lot of work, isn't it, Leon?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of work. And then you like, okay, this Why do I want to say this? Why don't other... And you start doing this and doing that, and just anything to get you off track. Hey, my mind wanders as it is. You know, I sat in a little cubicle down there yesterday morning, got up and started putting stuff together, and it was quiet and stuff, and then Erica, my mother-in-law, got up and stuff, and, you know, my focus started turning on them. Hey, let's eat, let's make supper, or not supper, but breakfast, and, you know, just anything to get me off of that. Isn't that what Satan wants you to do? Anything he can get to get that off of that. So Paul says what? Pray for me. So that won't be true. So when we pray for each other corporately, we're praying for that where you'll stand. And where you'll have, you know, school starts next week. This week? This coming
Tuesday.
For little Abby. And she, you know, and she's excited about it. And she's going to go there. You know what? She's going to, she continues to stand who you are in Christ Jesus. You know? And, you know, there's going to be a lot of intimidation whether you go to Christian school or not Christian school. There's still going to be intimidation on top of you. And stuff. And it's going to pull you apart in what you believe. But you see, the greatest weapon against Satan's plan B is what? What are we talking about? Prayer. And praying in the Spirit. And that is the greatest weapon you have. And Paul knew that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, I told you it's probably one of the shortest messages because we are going to end this today, okay? This is less than 99. We don't want to go to 100. Where did I say to go? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And you see how the boldness comes about as a result of their praying. And Paul sent back to, Timothy back to Thessalonica because he was worried about him. Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. You know what Timothy probably said to Paul? Those folks up there praying for you every day. Wouldn't that encourage you? Man, they're thinking about you every day, Paul. They're in remembrance of you. And, you know, they're praying for you every day. You know, and Paul probably thought, you know, yeah, you reckon they are. Because why? He got word from that. In verse 8, and Paul learns about it. He learns about how much they care and concern for him was on their heart. Listen, you can have head knowledge and a lot of say, yeah, I'm thinking about you. It's up here. But when it sinks down in your heart, like, you know, I've been really thinking about you. What's wrong with letting them know? What's wrong with letting us know? You know, you've been on my heart. Not that I have nightmares that your house is going to burn down, you know, and all that stuff. You know, I appreciate you thinking about me, but that was just a dream, hopefully. You know, I've got to share with you, my son, I talked to him last night. He goes, Dad, that place down there where we're living now, it's big. He goes, it's kind of scary. He said, I had a dream that it caught on fire. Do you got smoke detectors? I said, yeah, they're all laying all over the place. They have like batteries in them. They are. I'm like, okay, that, you know, he's probably seen that when he was there. So what do I got to do today? Batteries. Put batteries in them. But the thing is, you know, but verse 7, see, Paul learns how much their care and concern for him was on their heart. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. You see, the good report that Paul got about them comfort him in his problems. Paul was going to death. Paul was going to get his head cut off. Paul was towards his journeys, but that didn't stop him, did it? You know all his stories. But the thing is, he found out how concerned about him they were. It touched his heart, and guess what it did? It encouraged him. It didn't discourage him. Paul, you're going to gallows. See you later. No, they kept praying for him with power and supplication. Verse 8. For now we live. He is saying we're just enjoying life and going like a house on fire. You know, we're going to pray for you. If ye stand fast in the Lord. They're doing that. Verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. When he learned about their concern for him, that was a tremendous encouragement. When you get a phone call, or you get a text, or you get an email, or get a card from somebody, or you send, isn't that an encouragement to them? Wasn't it an encouragement to you? Oh, wow. Now, you probably think I'm the worst ever. I don't do cards and stuff. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't. You know I got your phone numbers and stuff, and you got my phone numbers, and we can call them back and forth. But the thing is, it's still an encouragement in it. It is a very big encouragement. And you are encouragement one another when you pray. And that is what he says at the end of Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs, verse 21. And how did, was that Tychicus? Our beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things, whom I had sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. You see, again, it is a great comfort and great encouragement to know that you are not alone in the battles. You're not alone out there, guys. You have a family here. You know, you have a church that will stand for truth. That means you should chant truth. And he said, Tychicus is going to come down there and tell you all the details about how things are going and everything about the ministry, and is going to comfort you. Hey, you know how many people emails me and calls me, and I see them, they say, Ed, how's your church doing? You know, are y'all still meeting up there under the Little Grace Church under the law? You know, I said, yep, it's still going. That's an encouragement to them, because you know why? When we started out, they was encouraging us and we was encouraging them. And you probably don't realize how many lives you guys touched worldwide in this time period. Because we made it known what we were standing for. That encouraged other people. And saying when they hear things, that what was going on in ministry, that we're continuing to fly the flag and it's still going no matter what, that encourages a lot of people, especially when they're on the big island of Hawaii and there's nobody else there but them.
Switzerland.
You know, or Switzerland, or South Africa, or Norway, or the Netherlands. You know, how about Ohio, Tennessee, Florida? You know, so we can be an encouragement to that, and when we do that, we're comforting them. Because they're going through some things. We just had a brother move from Cincinnati to take a ministry down in Venus area, Florida. And they can't find a place to live. And they're taking a church over down there. And they want $2,000, you know, $3,000 to rent I call a hole. I don't even never seen it. But a place to lay your head down. And they're like struggling. And then I seen where she said they had to fire their movers because they're wanting to triple their prices and stuff like that, and their stuff is still up here. And then guess what that's doing? Did we make the right decision? You know, and you got to encourage them. Yes, you made the right decision. You and your wife sit down and said, this is where we're going to go. You know, and you know, they're needing a minister out there in Illinois right now. In Edinburgh. Out there next to Springfield area, and it pays. So if anybody wants to move to Illinois, they're needing a minister out there, and we need to encourage them to continue to stand. You know, they're praying people out there just come out there and preach every Sunday until they find one. But anyway, you need to let people know how you're doing. And when you look at the conclusion of Paul's epistles, there's a lot of times he puts that personal stuff in there. You ever notice that? what he just shared. Hey, we're praying for you, or such and such praying for you. And the reason he shares all that stuff, and the reason God puts it in the Word for us to read, is that you need to know that you're not alone when you stand for Christ. Hey, if it just cut off right there, like, okay, what's next? You know, how's Benny doing? How's Jake? You know, are they getting the Word? Are they still continuing in the faith? So he shares this stuff. And you're not by yourself in the battle. You are with other believers out there standing for the fight, and you need to be encouraging that. We know when we put the armor of God on, we're in a battle. And you probably know in your heart, well, all I need is Jesus. Jesus is on my side, that type of thing. Is that true? Yeah. But you still got to be around members of the body of Christ. You know, he's the head of a body. Okay? And we are members in particular. Each one of us has got a function in the body of Christ. You may not feel like you are, but you have a function in the body of Christ. And many of you got families. You know, and your first ministry is to what? That family. And all. You might need some Tychicus? What's his name? Tychicus, not Tychicus. Tychicus. You may need some tickling every once in a while to come down and tell you about it, and tell you about what's happening. And you know, and they're there. You know, I'm telling you, I'll share this with you before we close, in a sense that, you know, when we first moved up here, everything was hunky-dory when the church we started. And all of a sudden, the doctrine changed, and he changed, and all that stuff. And we was like, wait a minute, that's not what we come up here to do. You know, you're not moving me from dispensational truth, right division. And they tried, you know, with their families and all that stuff. So we decided we was going to leave the church. Well, after we did that, he assumed that we was going to pull people away. You know, run away with your address book. You know, that type of thing. And yeah, and so he wrote letters to the people in that congregation and marked us and called us grievous wolves and all that stuff. And when we saw that, we was like, what? How in the world could... You know, he was my brother in Christ. You know, and all that stuff. Yeah, ouch. And we was like, what do we do? What do we do? And we need to run back to Virginia. You know, go back up under our old ministry. And you know, I called and got my job back. And the potato chip factory and stuff like that. And then we went around Tennessee, and there's Richard at a conference down there. And we'd sit down and we'd talk to Richard for a little while. And a group of men said, you know, spiritually, you're better off staying in Ohio. And what a blessing that's been.
Amen.
You know, if we went back down there, we probably would never started our own church. We'd probably been dissolved somewhere. That type, even though there's churches we went to that we helped start there. But what a blessing it was to stay and stand. Because we wasn't by ourselves. I always refer that to the term, see if how old you guys are, how well you know your history. The island in the Red Sea. How many have heard that term?
The ball?
An island.
Let me just put it out there. I hate history.
Okay. Island in the Red Sea. Okay. Want me to tell you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It was Berlin. After the Cold War, Russia came in and took all over Eastern Europe. Okay? And Berlin was being strangled. And it was an island in the Red Sea, red meaning communist. Okay? And what the United States did, you probably know what I'm talking about now, they did Berlin Airlift. They had three corridors going there and dropping food. And those people survived. That's how we felt. We felt like we was an island in the Red Sea, but people started coming and encouraging us. And what did? We licked our wounds. I finished Grace School Bible, and here you are today. So it's something that you can stand for, and you know, and it's a blessing. But you think about that. When I was over in the 80s, that corridor was still there. That was the only way you went to Berlin. You couldn't just walk over. Now it's different. So the island in the Red Sea is a good terminology, but you may be on an island in the Red Sea. You know, you may be the only person in your family that's standing for truth, and everybody else is, I don't say communist, but yeah, opposing the truth. You know, that type of thing. But it shouldn't discourage you. Look around you right now. It's an encouragement. You know, that type of thing. Verse 23. So, do you want, you know that there are people there. You see them passing greetings in the Bible. And that should be an encouragement to you all the time. Hey, such and such. Greet such and such. Greet such and such. Greet. I can't even pronounce half those names. You know, that's plan B of Satan should not affect you and I. And it can, right? You just let them just get that little dart in there and they start affecting you and like, oh, well, man. No, roll up your sleeves, get to work. Start, you know, teaching, preaching and all that stuff. Ephesians 6:23. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith for God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That ends Paul's epistles of Ephesians. Do you remember what the word Ephesians meant? Can you look back in your notes and yes, means the desirable ones. So God continued to give us the grace to go on and become saints who abound in the things that are taught in the book of Ephesians. Now this is the second time we taught the book of Ephesians in 13 years. And you know what? It may not be the last. Another 5-6 years we may do it again. Because I tell you, every time I go through it, I'm learning something more. Because as you get older, you got to study his epistles. You know what I mean? It's okay to read. What does it give attendance to what?
Reading.
But that's different than studying, isn't it? See, my mindset is when I'm looking at something, I'm trying to study it out instead of reading it. I'm like, I got to stop. I just want to read. And you're like, wait, that's that verse. And you go over here. And you got stuff in your columns. And you got, and you're chasing. And you can give attendance to reading. But you also got to study, don't you? And the book of Ephesians, once again, is about, let's back up. Romans is the first book of doctrine. That's where you find out you're justified, you're sanctified, you're glorified. You got dispensation truth, there's applications there. Okay? If you notice, when we went through this whole book, not one time did Paul go back and say, hey, you lost. Hey, you need to go back under. No, he assumed you already knew Romans. The doctrine of justification, he never come back and said, hey guys, you're lost. You need to get right. Then the next book of is 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's a book of reproof. Then the next book is Galatians. That's a book of corrections. If you don't know what I'm saying, Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, this is where you get that. In fact, our motto is studying the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 3:16. And he says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Now, how many scriptures?
All.
All scriptures. Now, what's the... Let me ask you this. Have you ever know... A lot of people say the Revelation was the last book written by John and Papias. You ever heard that? Denzel's shaking his head. That's not true. It's not, is it? You know, but where is it at in the canon of scriptures? So people all assume that it's, you know, the last book. When Paul says, I wrote the dispensation of the Word of God. Hang your finger there. Colossians chapter 1:25. I know where it's at. Maybe I do need a little more reading. First, Colossians chapter, Colossians 1:25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay? Paul fulfilled the word of God. With me?
Yeah.
So there's no more words of God being printed out there. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, it don't say to, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good work. Now, we say all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. And you have to admit by now, that's true. Because when you start pulling stuff out of Old Testament to apply it to you, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're going to have problems with in the book of Acts. Book of Acts, you know what the title of the book of Acts is? Acts of the Apostles. They're doing things. To make your doctrine in that, it's shifting sand. It's like this, because it's moving. It start out, when will you again restore the kingdom of Israel? Chapter 1, verse 6. To lo, I go to the Gentiles. So when you study the book of Acts in light of Paul's epistles, you see it's telling you about the fall of Israel. And if you study that for your doctrine, and if you study it the right way, you're going to realize, I'm down here with the Gentiles. It should lead you to Paul's epistles. But a lot of people stop in Acts chapter 2, that's it. But look, for doctrine, where you get doctrine at today, the body of Christ? Book of Romans. What about reproof? 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. What about correction? Galatians. What's Ephesians?
Doctor.
There you go. You go back to doctrine. What kind of doctrine? Is he going to tell you about how you lost and how to get saved?
Advanced.
And you got to admit, man, there's some stuff in there we're probably still wondering, scratching our head about, like, whoa. It's advanced mystery truths. With me? It's going to tell you you're seated in heavenly places. You're a workman of God. You're already there. Your standing is there. Your stake's still here. I'm still on this earth. Or is it different? My state's there. My standing's still here. Well, whatever the case may be, you're already there. Advanced mystery truth. Then what's after Ephesians? What's after book of Ephesians? Philippians. It's a book of reproof. If you notice, that book of reproof, he's not coming down on like he did in Corinthians. Man, he just tore into them. Excuse me. Yeah, Corinthians. He's more like, hey man, you know, let's get this right. You know better than this stuff. Their mind needed reproof. They was doing the jobs. Then what's after Philippians? Colossians. That's a book of correction. Their mind said. They was doing. Then what's after Colossians? Okay. That for instructions in righteousness. You can get instruction in righteousness, doctrine, reproof, correction, everything in that Thessalonians. Because once you're taken out of here, that's going to fulfill all that. Then after that you have Timothy, Titus, and Luke. That's what we call the pastoral epistles, but that's how we govern ourselves as a local assembly. The elders.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I usually think of it, yeah, after you go through the books of Philippians and Colossians, and you go into the pastoral. In essence, what you're trying to get is, at that point, you kind of like have your own ministry inside of yourself. And you're thinking, hey, these are the ways I can understand.
Exactly, because, you know, that's why I said, how, your household of God, taking care of your family, taking this, yeah. It's very comforting to read through those and apply it to your own ministry and your home and your ministry and stuff like that. But yeah, that's when you're at that point. It's like Grace School Bible, you know, 3 years. Usually after when you go into the second year, you're already working in the ministry. You know, you're like, wow, I want to do that. I'll help you out here. And sometimes when that happens, I'm looking at you like, Keep studying. Keep your focus. Because you can get wooed away from your studying and your school, and you're up here teaching and preaching and stuff like that, and you'll forget about the school. I've seen a lot of that happen. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.